is.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Wednesday to you. It is another chilly morning, but I guess the plus side is we'll start to warm up tomorrow, right? We're going to get into the 30s tomorrow, but that means we're only going to get into the 20s today. And it's going to be a fight to get to that. So I hope that you can stay inside as much as you can. It's another morning where they're saying it's 9 degrees outside. So if you can wait a little bit to leave the house, I would recommend it. But if you got to get up and get moving, well, I feel you. That's what we're here for. And again, I wasn't going to do this every day, but because it irks some people, I'm going to keep doing it. Today is 1,459 days left of the Trump administration. We can talk about some of the things that were going on in the news yesterday on the national scene. But there's also some local things that we can discuss this morning as well. Not only, you heard Phil mention in the news that the Mayor John Mitchell is asking for the city council on Thursday night to approve his nominee for the New Bedford Licensing Board. As you know, and as we've been talking about, the licensing board has had trouble getting some people on there. There's been, Chris McCarthy has followed this a lot more closely than I have, but there's been people who have been nominated that didn't get in. It's just been a whole big thing. And so the board was down to one person, that being the commissioner, Ricard Resendiz, former police officer. And now they brought in former licensing board member Nick Nanopoulos on an emergency basis to be a second person because they need at least two people to have a quorum. It's a three-person board. So they need at least two people to have a quorum. And they were able to get Nick Nanopoulos on there as an emergency appointment. But that ran out the beginning of this month. Then we had the thing that happened with Morna Lounge. In addition to the fact that, you know, anybody else that's looking to come into the city and operate that would or take over a property that would require licensing has to go before the board. So there's business that's getting held up because they don't have enough people on the board. So Mayor Mitchell said last week when the Morna Lounge incident happened that he planned on nominating somebody quickly, that he had somebody that he was nominating to the licensing board. And so he did that. Former, retired firefighter Richard McHugh, who since we put that story out, I don't know Mr. McHugh, but I've heard a lot of things from people who have said, you know, upstanding guy, great fit, you know, will do a great job. And this would be for a 5-year term that would end in 2030. So Mayor Mitchell has asked in his communication to the city council that they approve Richard McHugh on Thursday night, that they approve him for being part of the licensing board. And normally what they would do is they would refer this to appointments and briefings, and then they would have a hearing for him in that meeting, and then they would take a vote in that meeting, and then bring it back to the council for a full vote to give him the okay. And Mayor Mitchell is saying, you know, that process will slow things down. We need somebody now. Can we avoid that and just have the full council vote now? And so we're going to see how much the council wants to work with the mayor here going forward. You know, this is it's the same council as it was a month ago at the end of 2024. But there's a new council president, and the new council president put out a press release yesterday with the new committee assignments, which we'll get into. And this is the quote that he gave, Council President Shane Burgo. With these committee assignments, I am confident we have the leadership in place to tackle the challenges ahead and build a brighter future for New Bedford. This council is prepared to make meaningful progress on behalf of our residents and keep our focus on addressing their most pressing concerns. Well, I would think that a pressing concern right now, considering the fact that, you know, you had the chief of police have to step in to shut down an establishment, which is not, you know, I understand the Commonwealth gives the police chief that authority, but it's not the way that you want to do things. Because the chief just exercises that authority, says, I'm going to close this in the interest of public safety. The licensing board has hearings. The licensing board has the person come in and speak. The licensing board gives you your say, your opportunity. The police chief doesn't have time for all that. That's not what he does. So this is a situation where I think, you know, the council can, for lack of a better term, throw the mayor a bone and just agree to say, yeah, we'll do it Thursday night. No, I haven't reached out to any counselors to ask them what they think the feasibility of that is. But I am sure after what happened at Morna Lounge, you know, they want to make sure that they have a plan in place because it, twofold. One, you don't want to put something else on the plate of the police chief. And two, if any more issues do come up, you don't want to have the police chief being the one making that decision all the time because it makes it look authoritarian. So, yes, the councilors will want to do the work that the constituents want them to do, which is get somebody on the board, but they're also going to want to make sure that they're sending a signal to the business owners of we want to be fair to you as well and fair to business. And it doesn't, it's not like there's an overwhelming urge where all of a sudden they've got, you know, 20 restaurants or bars that need to go before the licensing board because they've had problems. But you don't want to be the bar that's operating that thinks that if somebody comes in and pulls something bad in your place, that you're going to get shut down over it because the police chief is going to do it in the interest of public safety. Now, Morna Lounge was an extreme example. They'd had a number of incidences of violence in recent years. But also, you know, with so many things always giving restaurant and bar owners anxiety, this could be one more thing that is doing that. And I'm sure a number of those bars, you know, reached out to either the chief or police officers they know and said, hey, how close am I to something like that happening? So this would be a way to kind of reassure those businesses, too, that the proper procedure is in place. So I would think that you are going to see this happen. But then again, you know, as we know, sometimes things do get held up by the council. Well, not held up, but put through the council's process so that the council can flex a little bit. But Council President Burgo did release his committee assignments. I didn't really talk to anybody about what expectations were. I know Chris McCarthy had been having some of those conversations. So he can probably give you a little bit more analysis of this. By the way, I know he's having, I don't know if Mayor Mitchell is back. If he's here from his U.S. Conference of Mayors that the New Bedford Light wrote about, or if he'll be here. I just know for sure that firefighter Anthony Puente is going to be here with Chris this morning to talk about some fire safety tips, considering all of these horrible fires that have been happening, not just here, but around the Commonwealth. But I'm sure Chris can also give you more insight as to the politicking that got into these committee assignments. But I'll just give you the chairs really briefly. And if you want to see the rest of the people that will be serving on the committees, you can check that out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But Councillor Carney, who last year was council president, will return to chair of the Appointments and Briefings Committee. Councilor Pereira is the chair of the Audit Committee. Councilor Giesta is the chair of the City Property Committee. Councilor Morad, once again, chair of the Finance Committee. Councilor Baptiste will chair the Fisheries Committee. Councilor Gomes remains on Internal Affairs. Councilor Abreu will chair Labor and Industry. Councilor Pereira will chair Ordinances. Councilor Gomes will remain the chair of Public Safety and Neighborhoods. And Councilor Carney is the chair of the Veterans Affairs, Elderly, Youth, Health, and Housing and Disability Issues. What's interesting is where the special committees are. Because Council President Burgo made some changes there. So Councilor Chiquette will chair the Airport Committee. Councilor Burgo himself will chair the Environmental Affairs. Councilor Baptiste will chair Memorials and Dedications. Council President Burgo removed two committees. The Cannabis Regulation and Host Community Agreement Review Committee. And the Payment in Lieu of Taxes Program Committee. The one that looked over the, you know, Payment in Lieu of Taxes pilot, the pilot program. And Burgo said, these committees, while created with good intentions, have proven unnecessary. Going forward, any motions that would have been referred to them will be directed to one of our standing committees. This approach eliminates redundancy and ensures our focus remains on areas that deliver the most impact. So that's, I think that makes sense. If the committees were doing redundant work, there's no need to have them. There's no need to add an extra step into the process. There's no need to require extra meetings for the counselors who serve on the committee and for the people who have business before that committee to have to clear time on their schedules for, you know, streamline and simplify. And that seems to be something that Council President Burgo is looking to do this year. And so that will take care of that. But then also, as you know, he has served as the chair of the Affordable Housing and Homeless Affairs Committee since it was created in 2022 under then Council President Ian Abreu. So Councilor Burgo has renamed that committee to the Special Committee on Housing. And he said, whether you call it affordable, workforce, or market rate, the bottom line is that we need more housing. By focusing on this primary objective, we can address many of the broader challenges our community faces. So it's not just going to be about affordable housing. It's not going to be just about helping the homeless. It's going to be wrapping all of that into a larger scope look at housing, which, you know, the committee was doing anyway, but now this encompasses being able to look at some of the market rate housing that's coming in, the stuff that's being built downtown, and in other places, and seeing how that impacts the overall housing challenges of the city. So I think that move makes sense as well. But if you have a different take, 508-996-0500. By the way, Council President Burgo put Councilor Abreu in as the chair of the Housing Committee. So as I'm looking over these committee chairs, one thing stands out to me. I'm just going to give you the chairs again. I won't say all the committees, but I'm just going to give you the chairs. Councilor Carney, Councilor Pereira, Councilor Giesta, Councilor Morad, Councilor Baptiste, Councilor Gomes, Councilor Abreu, Councilor Pereira, Councilor Gomes, Councilor Carney, Councilor Abreu, Councilor Choquette, Councilor Burgo, Councilor Baptiste. I don't see Councilor Sean Oliver's name as the chair of any committee. The person who challenged Council President Burgo for the council presidency. Does that signify anything? Councilor Choquette, who nominated Council President Oliver, and who was one of the vocal opponents of Burgo getting the council presidency, only has one council, only one chairmanship, and that's the airport committee, which makes sense considering he's, you know, the Ward 1 counselor, and that's a big part of his ward. And I think you've got really no choice in that regard. But does only having one chairmanship send a message to him? I don't know. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe people's schedules are different. Maybe he said, hey, I don't want to have any chairmanships this year because I've got a lot going on. I don't know. But I just find it very interesting. I'm sure Chris McCarthy will know more than I do about that. But I'm just telling you, from taking a look at it as an observer, I found that to be very interesting. I mean, Counselor Abreu, I could, you know, I could really see him being somebody that would say something like, you know, I can't take on too many chairmanships just because of all the stuff that he's got going on with his businesses. So maybe it's something similar with Counselor Oliver, where he said, I've got so much going on with my work life, with my personal life, that I would prefer not to have any chairmanships this year. But it's just also very interesting that he was the one that challenged Council President Burgo after Council President Burgo said that he was seeking that position. So he did it less so because he wanted to be council president, more so because it was in opposition of Councilor Burgo being council president. So I find that to be very interesting. And what will that signal going forward? I mean, both men have said here on the radio that they expect to be able to work together moving forward. So let's see. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt and say it's not what it looks like. But, you know, again, we'll see what happens. 508-996-0500. We will also have app chat open on the WBSM app, as well as open line voicemails if you want to record that. I would also say that while you're on the app, if you have any photos of you and your pet looking alike, looking similar, it doesn't even matter if you like physically resemble each other, but maybe there was a time that you dressed up the same. Or you're making the same expression or gesture, anything like that, you can enter it to win our owner pet lookalike contest. And I'm just telling you, based on some of the entries we've got, not everything is, you know, that they look like each other. Sometimes it's just that they're doing similar things or dress similarly. But we are collecting entries all this week, and then we're going to put it out to a vote. And the winner will get a $250 gift card. So it really is. It's really just about that cute photo where it shows the bond between you and your pet. Whether it be a physical similarity or attempting to have a physical similarity, whatever is going to make people smile. And we've got some really good entries so far, but we'll be collecting them all the way through until Friday, maybe even into Monday, depending on, you know, if they're still rolling in on Friday. I don't want to cut it off. And then starting next week, you'll be able to vote for the winner. And then we'll announce the winner the following week. So, again, if you know anybody, recommend that they send something in. However, don't send it in on their behalf. It's got to be them that submits it. It can't be a professional photo. It can't be you submitting a photo of somebody else and their pet because we have to have, you know, their permission to be able to put it on the website. So just let them know about the contest and tell them that they should enter. And you can find it right there at WBSM.com and on the app. Right now, though, I am going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Situation's terrible, but baby, you're adorable, and no need we care. I'm so tired of being lonely, I still have some love to give. Won't you show me that you really care? Yeah.
your body next to mine and dream on.
And now, of course, that's not Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, and Bob Dylan. Of course, that's the Traveling Wilburys. So that's the actual Wilburys, right? That's not actual. They just sound like those guys and look like them, right? But they're the Wilburys. Wink, wink. But yeah, you heard the voice of Bob Dylan there. And you may hear the voice of Bob Dylan on SNL this weekend, because the musical guest and host this week is actor Timothy Chalamet, who plays Bob Dylan in the new movie, A Complete Unknown. So he's going to be the host and the musical guest, assuming he's going to be performing Bob Dylan songs from the movie. And the internet is abuzz with the idea that Bob Dylan may show up and be part of that performance, or that Timothy Chalamet is not even going to sing, that the musical performances will be Bob Dylan. And that would be really interesting, because Bob Dylan, I guess, has never done SNL and has always been somebody that they've tried to get. So this would be a way to kind of bring him in there in like a surprise way. And then also, I guess Bob Dylan had made the joke that maybe, you know, since Timothy Chalamet played him, maybe he'll get himself a scarf and a funny hat and he'll walk around pretending to be Timothy Chalamet. So maybe that was setting this, I don't know. But certainly I'll be interested to see what happens, because I would love to see Bob Dylan show up on SNL, but I'd also love to see Timothy Chalamet, you know, perform those songs if that's what the plan is. Anyway, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from noted SNL fan Phil Devitt.
Trump begins dismantling the government's DEI department. Danger lurking still at the site of California wildfires. And a new option for people with high blood pressure.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Donald Trump began his presidency with a dizzying display of force, signing a blizzard of executive orders that signals his desire to remake American institutions, while also pardoning nearly all of his supporters who rioted at the U.S. Capitol back in 2021. A big development in just the last 12 hours or so. Trump's administration is directing that all federal diversity, equity, and inclusion staff be put on paid leave, and that agencies develop plans to lay them off, according to a memo from the Office of Personnel Management. Tuesday's memo follows an executive order that Trump signed his first day, ordering a sweeping dismantling of the federal government's diversity and inclusion programs that could include anti-bias training and funding for minority farmers and homeowners. The Deep South is experiencing a rare winter storm, with heavy snow blanketing parts of Louisiana and Alabama. The National Weather Service in Lake Charles, Louisiana, issued its first ever blizzard warning. Snowfall records have been broken in several locations, including Pensacola, Florida. It's a historic event for the region, which is more accustomed to hurricanes than blizzards. Southern California wildfire survivors are struggling with the decision of whether to return to the destroyed area to search for personal belongings. Concerns about exposure to toxic chemicals in the ash are a major factor. Experts warn that burned materials can release harmful substances like lead, asbestos, and arsenic. A West Virginia woman is on trial for allegedly mistreating her adopted children. Jean K. Whitefeather denies accusations that she and her husband forced the children to work on their farm and locked two of them in a shed. Prosecutors say neighbors reported seeing the couple lock the children in the shed and leave the property. Whitefeather claims the shed was a hangout for the teens and they had a key to come and go as they pleased. The trial is expected to continue this week. And a new procedure called renal denervation may offer hope for people with high blood pressure that's difficult to control with medication. This minimally invasive treatment disrupts overactive nerves in the kidneys that contribute to elevated blood pressure. During renal denervation, a doctor uses a catheter to deliver ultrasound or radio frequency energy to the nerves surrounding the renal arteries, disrupting the signals that contribute to high blood pressure. While not a cure, studies have shown that renal denervation can lead to a modest but significant reduction in blood pressure for some patients. But it's not suitable for everyone and should only be considered for carefully selected patients under the guidance of physicians.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins up against the New Jersey Devils tonight at 7, and the Celtics and LA Clippers out west game at 10:30 tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Frigid start today, mainly sunny and cold, a high of 22, although it'll feel like single digits out there thanks to those wind chills. On Thursday, partly cloudy and a high of 32. The same goes for Friday, Saturday as well. Sunday, a bit warmer, high of 38, and partly cloudy and breezy. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back. And how can you not be in a good mood after hearing that song, right? And I think that that is one of the most peppy, upbeat songs of the 80s. I think it's one of those ones where when you hear it, you can't help but tap your foot. You can't help but want to maybe even dance around a little bit. I find it to be probably one of the rare songs that actually gets me to move a little bit. And there's not many that do. So when they do, I try to make sure that I'm in the right place when they come on. That I'm in a place where I can actually move around and nobody will see. Because otherwise, people are going to think I'm a dancer, and I don't want anybody to think that. When I go to the zombie prom next month, I'm already thinking to myself, because I have a date, I'm already thinking to myself, well, oh, what's going to happen now when my date wants to dance? But I guess the excuse is I'm dressed up like a zombie, so I only have to do zombie moves, right? I don't actually have to dance for real. Eventually, I'll learn how. One thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to go to one of those, you know, the Frank Sinatra dances. I think Taylor Cormier has performed at a few of those, but usually Michael Dutra performs at them. I've always wanted to go to one of those and, you know, bring a date. But that's even more pressure because that's an older crowd of people who actually do know how to dance. So you could get out there with a bunch of people your own age or younger and act like an idiot. And people would be like, yeah, look at him. He's having a great time. He's a great dancer. But not actually know how to do any dance moves. Especially if you've been drinking. You get away with using that as your excuse. Like, I've been drinking. But if you go to one of those Frank Sinatra dances, when the older folks are there, they know how to do all of those dances. And you will look out of place if you don't. So I always said, I'm going to take some of those, you know, ballroom dancing lessons and go to one of those Frank Sinatra dances, maybe someday. I mean, I'm going to the thing Friday night that's more like rockabilly type music, but I'll be sitting for that one. Anyway, 508-996-0500. If you are someone who has taken ballroom dancing lessons, let me know. How did it work out for you? Did it make you a good dancer? Did it make you actually look like you knew what you were doing? Or are you just as awkward as you were before? I've got faith that it'll make me a better dancer, but then what am I going to do with it? So, you know, that Walk of Life song, by the way, was the video featured a lot of sports highlights and bloopers. And I think that's what made it really popular back in the 80s was this was a new thing. You know, Bob Lobel's Sports Spotlight, that was not something that was widely seen. And then Bob Lobel started doing it. Other people started doing it around the country. Then they started having syndicated shows that did it. But it was not really like a well-known thing then. And now you have... You know, it's you've got the SportsCenter top plays every night. You've got all these videos that go around online. But that was one of the few things like that back then. I remember watching the video with a very close eye, looking for any Boston teams. But speaking of Boston teams, the New England Patriots appear to have found their new offensive coordinator. And their new offensive coordinator is one of their old offensive coordinators, because apparently Josh McDaniels is coming back for a third go-around with the Patriots, and he will be the Patriots' new offensive coordinator. Last year under Alex Van Pelt was a disaster. Certainly, if they got rid of Coach Gerard Mayo, they weren't going to keep him, so they got rid of Van Pelt pretty quickly. But now, Josh McDaniels coming back, and I think part of that is, you know, there's probably a familiarity between Josh and Mike Vrabel, because keep in mind, Mike Vrabel, as much as he's known as, you know, the great defensive player that he was, Vrabel also played on offense. You know, they had announced that he was reporting eligible, and everybody knew who was getting the ball, and he basically played a fullback role on offense. So he's pretty familiar with Josh. And I think you're going to see not so much of a, you're going to find a good balance of what they refer to as the Patriot way mixed in with a little bit of the sensibility of the more modern version of the NFL. So they're going to set this team up for success with a solid plan, unlike what Gerard Mayo came in and did, which is, you know, the reporting that we've heard since they fired him was that there didn't seem to be a plan. Things changed week to week, and the players were confused because they didn't see the process. They didn't see the program. So this will hopefully give some stability there, and you can give Josh McDaniels credit for the quarterbacks he's worked with over his time in New England, and say hopefully he can do the same thing with Drake May. So I'm not against this hiring at all. I like it. I figured it would probably be the case. And also, by the way, Josh McDaniels was also a longtime rumored replacement for Bill Belichick when he was ready to step down. Does this also give the Patriots a fail-safe so that if Vrabel doesn't work out, they might have the next guy already in-house? I don't know. But it's an interesting choice, and I at least feel a little bit better now that going forward, we're going to see a plan. Now, some people are going to say, well, I don't want to see Belichick era 2.0. I don't want to see somebody coming in and doing things his way. If you're going to do that, just keep Belichick. But I don't think it's going to be exactly that. But I think what it will have is the stability that the team had under Belichick, which it obviously didn't have last year. And that's what the focus seems to be on this offseason. 508-996-0500. I'll be right back. welcome back in. 508-996-0500. And I know, you know, with all of the discussion over the past few days about the new president, the new administration coming in, the executive orders that were signed, President Trump saying on Inauguration Day, you know, drill, baby, drill. The information that's come out again about the pause, I guess we'll call it, on the wind projects. That the executive order will keep, I guess, it's going to keep new wind projects from starting, and will put a pause on current ones under review. Put a pause on the current ones under construction until they can undergo a review. And the New Bedford Light has more reporting on that this morning. But as all of this talk about oil and electric and all that has come into the conversation, people are still turning to solar. I know people who are, you know, staunch conservatives who think offshore wind is the worst thing that could ever happen, but still understand the value of solar. And they understand that putting solar panels on your home, or on your property, can benefit you. Why? Because they've sat down with people like Isaacson Solar and found out all the true facts about going solar. And right now, Isaacson Solar is looking to give somebody the opportunity to have that for free. Because between now and the end of the month, between now and January 31st, you can enter to win a free solar system at IsaacsonSolar.com. So if you have always been interested in going solar, but you thought to yourself, well, I just don't have the money now to invest in getting that return on my investment later of not paying for electricity and even getting the electric company to pay me for the electricity I'm generating. But I don't know that I have the money up front for that. Well, how about not paying a dime to have a solar system put on your home and reaping the rewards for it? It is literally the biggest prize we have given away because it could be worth over $100,000 over the next 25 years. So if you want to enter to win, just go to IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. You can also go to WBSM.com and click on the free solar, win free solar tab at the top, and that'll bring you over there as well. So if you do want to go solar and you aren't sure about how to make it all work out, you can also reach out to Isaacson as well on their website, IsaacsonSolar.com. Sit down and talk with them, and they will talk to you. And you know, on a cold day like this and a cold weather like this, this is the time to reach out and talk to them because they're probably not outside on somebody's roof installing solar panels when it's 9 degrees out. So give them a call, and hopefully they'll have the time to come over and meet with you as soon as possible. But again, IsaacsonSolar.com is where you can go to find out all the information and to find out more and to enter to try to win a free solar system. We also have another story at WBSM.com and on the app. There was a Wareham woman who was sentenced yesterday in federal court, and she's the second person that was convicted in this case. But it was two people who were selling fentanyl in Wareham, selling drugs that contain fentanyl. And there was a man who overdosed as a result. And so they were tried, convicted, and sentenced in federal prison. And you can read more about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But there was a lot of folks who had been, I don't know the gentleman who passed away, but a lot of people who knew him were following that story very closely. And after they were both indicted and after they both pleaded guilty, you know, they were waiting to see. They have to, you know, they have to serve time. She's getting just about four and a half years in prison and 3 years of supervised release, and then also has to pay restitution. Both her and her co-defendant both had to pay restitution to the family to cover the funeral expenses. Now, I don't know that, you know, the family's ever going to see that money, but I think that's a good symbolic gesture when there are fatal overdoses involved that they should have to pay. And it doesn't make up for the loss of the family member, but it just hammers home to them just how responsible they are for that person's death. 508-996-0500. Let me take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Candlelight, I can't sleep because my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa
We're going to run into the news. And when we come back, we can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. App chat messages, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We can talk more.